So with that, we want to, what we had planned on was a Q&A session that you can ask Gary and Eric anything you like, and you can ask me what I will let you ask. How's that? Okay. This is supposed to be out in the crowd, so we'll keep this one. Who's got the mics? I'm going to give this to you guys because you get to be moving it around. Fits.
Hello. Craig, Neil, to get started, do you want to see your question, and then we'll just repeat it to the crowd while we're getting the mics going. All right, actually, here, Ryan, is that ready to go?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Good, I'll start, and everybody else can follow. The warrant rolls up in 2016. Would you remind us of the terms, the timing, and what are you thinking about that?
The warrant themselves expire in April of 2016. Frankly, we haven't focused much on that. We'll have to plan for that, if provided they actually go ahead and execute those warrants. But right now, I haven't talked to anybody about those things being exercised at all.
I'm sure they'll be exercised.
Sure they will. But
and I mean, majority of the warrants sit with one bank, so I think we'll work through that.
Did you ever consider shutting down 3PI altogether? And if you can't turn it around, do you have a plan B?
Well, I would tell you that we have a plan A, and plan A will be to return to profitability in the near term. We talked about strategically, when we look at all the engines that we make and all the products that we sell them into, the area for us to really grow, the most profitable engines that we have in all of our portfolio are the big ones. You know, and one of the reasons that 3PI made sense to us was because if we develop these large engines and then all of a sudden we go to Kohler or we go to one of the generator manufacturers and they say, you know what, we've already got an engine. So now we've spent a lot of money, we've developed a product that is really ripe for the market, and nobody wants to buy it. So rather than be on the sideline, we decided to get on the field and said, you know what, if that's the case, we have an opportunity to package these products and we'll take them into the market ourselves. So it was more of a hedge. We know the profitability and the opportunities that will come from big engines. We said the company kind of drifted into a commodity packaging business, which is not what it should be. So we've brought it back to where it is in highly engineered solutions, and we will produce products that we will have our engines in that will be sold into the market that will generate the type of margins that we're used to. So that work has been done, and I would tell you it's heavier lifting than I anticipated by far, but I don't think we ever thought about shutting it down. And at PowerGen, we will have an announcement that will kind of bring an additional strategy that makes a lot of sense as we go forward.
Craig Irwin from Roth. So in your slides, you disclosed 20% of revenue for this year you expect to come from on-road markets. You know, That's a pretty healthy contribution. So if we look at PI and just assume mathematically that they're hitting the benchmarks for their earnout, that sort of suggests around $45 million in revenue from on-road this year. It seems that number continues to tick up. What's going really well for you there?
Well, as far as what's going really well, I mean, I think the Freightliner business is going great. I think that the reason that we acquired PI is because we tried to win the Freightliner business and we lost. And you know, we looked at, could we hang in there and try and win the Freightliner business over the next 5 years, or could we acquire the business and get involved with them now and ramp up as we go forward? So the platforms that they've talked to us about are not just the ones that PI has, but we're talking on a much wider spectrum. PI's done a great job. They have a great team for on-highway integration. They have a bunch of good engineers. They have good salespeople. You know, the thing that they don't have is a lot of depth behind that. You know, there was always concerns by Freightliner and other companies that say, well, what happens if you have a problem? you know, they have done some things commercially that we couldn't do. And I think that we bring the breadth of what we have here today behind what they have. And now we have Navistar, and now we have Freightliner. So I think that they have done a good job. The fact they got Yutong before we did is another testament to the things that they're doing right. So it'll roll up.
Yeah, I'll jump in. Yeah, and one more thing too, you know, is just to use an example of Yutong and JAC and some of the other customers that we're starting to get engaged with. Historically, let's say PI, powertrain integration, would have those customers be in the lead on them. We'd have to go and then fight powertrain integration for them. So we might have to, you know, offer certain things to these customers, or it might be become a price battle between us and powertrain integration. Now that we don't have that battle anymore, there's a really great opportunity where these customers, rather than being able to leverage powertrain integration against PSI and have us each beat each other up, now we can come in as a joint opportunity. We're the only ones they can go to for these GM engines, and then we can really say, okay, let's do this in partnership with the customer. And it's made the dynamic much more of a symbiotic relationship now with our customers. And it's also enabled GM now, rather than trying to figure out which business do they favor, powertrain integration or us, they could say, hey, you're all one family. Now there's some opportunities that we want to talk to you about that in the past we were hesitant to talk to you about. So,
thank you for that. I also wanted to ask about your guidance. So if we take the midpoint of your guidance for the fourth quarter of 15 and the midpoint of your guidance for 16, says we're going to have just a little bit over $55 million in revenue growth in 16. Looking at your acquisitions completed in the last year, mathematically they should contribute around $30 to $35 million. There are a number of things that that we've seen here today that could materialize, a number of other good things that you've talked about in the past. Can you maybe discuss where you might be conservative and, you know, how you look at things to forecast them these days?
Well, if we look at where that opportunity is, I mean, I think the number where we're going to come in at for 3PI is going to be somewhere between 20 and 25 million. The number that we believe that next year will represent will be north of 40 million. When we look at what PI has done with Freightliner, we've estimated that number with PI would be somewhere this year south of 60, north of 40. I think together we see that opportunity next year being probably more like 80, and our on-road business itself will start to come on strong with Navistar and a mature school bus launch. So all those pieces come together and give us comfort in the guidance that we gave you for 16.
Eric Stein, Craig-Hallum. I was just wondering, with GM and Navistar recently announcing collaboration in medium-duty trucking, just given your relationships with both companies, what that does to the market opportunity?
Well, you know, the thing is, we have a very good relationship with Navistar, you know, from the CEO level on down. The head of purchasing at GM is a friend of ours. I would say that we will have discussion about how we could fit in that. I don't see that whole TerraStar platform being offered with just gasoline and just diesel. I have a good idea what engines might be included in that, and I think there would be a place for us to offer alternate fuel engines in that deal. And I think we'll continue to work in that relationship and try and realize that opportunity.
Liam Burke, Wunderlich. Gary, as you become more established in the market, how do you think about pricing strategy and how you can use it to your advantage and move margin a bit?
Sure. I mean, we have always said, you know, forklift is probably the most competitive market that we're in today. And, you know, the thing that holds the price down is Nissan. You know, Nissan is going through a lot of adjustment. The company migrated from Nissan to Unicarrier. Unicarrier has recently been purchased by Mitsubishi, or will be by the end of the year. So our one competitor out there, which we fight with every day, that engine that they have is no longer a production automotive product. So with a purchase by Mitsubishi, Mitsubishi is going to have to decide, do we want to continue to make a proliferated non-automotive engine? And if that opportunity was to go the way that Mazda went, that would free up probably 55,000 LP engines for us today in the current conditions with the current concentration that you have in Asia. So I think that's a great opportunity. That would again then allow us to float our margin up to catch up with diesel. Right now we have some pressure from Nissan that's holding margins where they are. But I think that if we can get some rationalization in that space, I think we can then start to chase diesel margins. It won't be like for like, but we'll get to, you know, north of 20 where we want to be. I think consolidation, I mean, that's always been our plan. As we get better positioned and adoption, we will move our products north to kind of follow diesel when we can. But today, our on-highway markets are you know, north of 20, our heavy-duty product is north of 30. So we have a lot of very positive things as we develop new products going forward. So I think we're positioned well. The forklift opportunity is the one that I think is the biggest for us.
Rob Brown at Lake Street. On margins, what's sort of your long-term margin goal, both on gross margin and operating margin?
Yes, sir, Rob. So long-term, gross margin goal is 20%, and on the operating income side, it's 10% of sales. And we've seen it historically, you know, in the business, we've been able to touch on those. What we will see is we do feel that, one, because historically we've been able to do it, it's realistic. And then also, if you look at the way our business is flowing, the future growth areas, like on-road, primarily are higher margin business. And so as we capture those gross margins for on-road, for example, is over 20%. As we move to that mix, that's going to benefit us. As we get volume, there will be some fixed absorption in the numbers. And then finally, as our volume of engines continues to ramp, we can continue to lean out the supply chain and get more efficiencies. So we feel that those targets are certainly achievable.
Yeah, I would also say that, if, you know, you look at the 8-8 line, and today that's probably a 4,000 to 5,000 production volume. I think our goal is to, a realistic goal for our company is to get north of 10 and towards 15 and onward to 20. As we do that, we will drive costs down. Today, that product is over 20%. So I think there's opportunities for our on-highway business to migrate to the same types of margins that we have in our heavy duty.
Hi, Alex Potter with Piper Jaffray. I'm wondering if you can comment on China, whether you have sufficient capacity at this point to deal with all of the new China demand that you guys are seeing, and how much incremental investment is required, if any, to address the Chinese demand. And the reason I ask, I think sometimes, you know, China in general, Chinese customers, the Chinese market, the Chinese government can jerk people around pretty good. So I'm just wondering how much you guys have at risk from a capital standpoint to serve that market. Thanks.
Well, I think the primary products that we're, you know, directing towards on highway today are from General Motors. So there isn't a big exposure and development challenge or investment that we would have to make to seat that market. I believe that as we start to build relationship and expand with the customers that we've identified, I think there's a great opportunity for us to utilize products that we've already developed for the North American market. So there isn't a single product that we have that has been specifically invested to bring in the Chinese market. I think it'll be an opportunity for us to get further dilution as we go forward and realize greater margin and greater profits. So I think the fact that we have the leaders over there today as customers on the on-highway side and on the forklift side gives us a platform to go to the next level.
You know, Alex, too, and it's true sometimes in China, there's been cases where the government or the companies will have all sorts of different requests of companies, jerk them around, as you said, and have very little show for it, and those companies invested quite a bit. In terms of our programs, the need and interest is so great that those customers we're talking to have actually, they're putting in their own money and paying for the, in many cases, substantial parts of the development for these programs. So they're using their own money. The parts that we have to contribute are not major. And so with that, we have a high degree of confidence that there will be, you know, most or all those programs will see the light of day.
Any more questions? Okay.
How does your 40% AR plus inventory less payables as a percentage of revenue, do you know how that compares to other companies, and do you have a target that you can share with us for bringing that down? Because taking the business from 400 million to a billion,
yeah,
if you keep that up, it's going to require a ton of capital.
We can't be at 40%. We've been looking at the top companies in the top quartiles in terms of working capital to sales. I've seen the gamut from 8% to 22%. I've not seen any at 40. I have not developed a goal yet, but I can tell you that if I were to take a gut check, I think it's got to be no more than 25%, just to satisfy the demand. We have to get better on our payables right now, but 45% can't exist to be viable and to be sustainable in the future. I think it's got to be no more than 25 to 30%. So we do have to get more efficient on that.
You know, really echoing what Michael has said is there's periods where we have operated at 25%, and I think that's also the right goal, and that's comparable with peers in our industry. What's happened is we've had opportunities to launch our own engine, like the 4.3, and launch new applications, and so we've had to buy ahead on engines in certain amounts of inventory. So, for example, 3-liter engines, 4.3-liter engines, and a few other cases. We've also taken opportunistic deals that are out there as well. So if you strip out the part of the engine inventory, which is excess, you know, really our true working capital normalized is at a much lower number. And so again, I think artificially, strategically and on purpose, we do have a very high engine inventory, but you know, if things go as planned and as expected, we'll start to normalize that.
Any other questions? Okay. Yeah, with that, I would like to thank everybody for coming. I hope that we gave you a pretty good snapshot of who we are and where we're going. I think that there's a lot of very positive things that we've worked very hard to bring to where we are today. And I think there's a runway ahead of us that is pretty pretty bright. And so thank you very much for coming. And if there's any other follow-up you'd like to do, just please contact myself, Michael, or Eric. All right? Thank you again.